Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Giselle, who are you wearing? Tom!
Hey, Tom!
Tom!
Hey, Lou!
Tom!
Lou!
God, this is madness.
Miss Bunsen, you still got it, my love.
I love you.
Kyrie, he says, I want to be my own man. And now you're your own man who going on vacation Thursday morning.
The issue has been the runs.
Just their runs.
The Celtics can't stop the run.
It really boils down to these runs.
They have a case of the runs.
Oh, you're laughing. So Brady did the exact same thing in the postgame.
Why does it smell like low tide in
there? Because he just farted.
Guilty.
Brandon Dubinsky and Zdeno Chara, the Warriors, are the first to greet one another.
What's up, guys?
I sure love this sport.
How do you feel going to the Eastern Conference?
Oh, so excited.
Right now.
Be nice to people, the internet.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, so at least we have one team that's going to be moving on here, right? We have one team that's giving
one
us a little bit more life. The other team, well, victim of the runs, once again.
Oh, yeah.
Victim of a lot more than runs, I would say. But, yeah, at least you got one team that you're happy with.
So
the way they play, the way they go about their business, the way they punch back, the way they fight. Yeah, it's outstanding.
Well, what a contrast in style, really, when you talk about adversity. So when the Celtics face adversity, and they faced it yesterday in the third quarter.
Again.
With no Giannis and no Chris Middleton on the floor because they were both in foul trouble. That was adversity, and they wilted like a dead flower. Then you've got the Bruins and Charlie McAvoy with that hit to the head.
Yeah.
They closed out the second period, and you're sitting there going, oh, my God, what the hell's going to happen now? You got a 1-0 lead and an early power play for Columbus to open up the third period. Did the Bruins wilt?
No.
Little adversity right there because Columbus came out fired up, right? They had a power play opportunity. Nope. The Bruins fought right back. That's
Bruins
the difference in these two teams.
Well,
attitude
reflects leadership.
Yeah.
Captain.
Say that again.
Leaders got to lead.
Say that again.
Yeah.
With some music.
Yeah, the Bruins are everything the Celtics wish they were.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the entire season, which is a lot like the way the Bucks are. The way you can hit them, you can knock them down. They just keep coming. There's no infighting. There's no finger pointing. There's no me. They're all unselfish. That is who they wish they were. That's who they used to be. They used to be the unselfish type. They used to be the ones that fought until the end. They used to be the underdogs and gritty and scrappy. That ain't it anymore.
No, the Celtics are the opposite of the team you've really enjoyed watching for the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I fell into it. Game one. I thought they did flip the switch.
Yay! Are you back on the bus?
No, they don't. I feel like, why even play game five?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's nothing to this team.
Did they just flip three times?
They are exactly what you thought they were.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back a month or two ago and it says, okay, you know, you got a month before the regular season. Get to the postseason. What do you think? Well, number one, I don't trust the Celtics. Okay, I think they're front runners. It's not their year. It's a waste of talent. The Bruins, I trust them. Okay, they work their ass off. They get punched in the face, they fight back. I just felt like they were going to run into Tampa at a buzzsaw in that second round.
No.
Obviously, they got bounced. Whatever. They're advancing. But that attitude has not changed. There's one team you enjoyed and trusted, and there's another team that you didn't.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Nothing, and really, big picture, nothing's changed. They showed it for one game.
Yeah, no, one team has balls and the other has none, and they wilt. And the other thing is, there's so many, and I know Kyrie's going to be the main guy that everybody's going to torture today. And it's interesting because... they should. Absolutely should. He was awful. Last three games, terrible. And even worse, by the way, on the defensive side than the offensive side. I'll give him a few excuses for what happened to him in the offensive side. Defensively, he was awful. But, you know, a week ago, people were looking at it. We couldn't get anybody to call. Remember all the people that wanted to get rid of Kyrie? And Kyrie was playing well through that first game of the Milwaukee series. Does anybody want to call up and get rid of him now?
Oh, they'll call,
okay.
They'll call
nobody,
today.
No,
sure.
Right.
I'm sure they're
right.
They'll help him pack his bags.
Nobody called. And today the lines are going to be loaded up. And as pissed off as I am about Kyrie because he sucked in the last three games, all right, do I want him to go? Nope. Because I know what's ahead if you don't have Kyrie, and trust me, I've been there. I took a time machine. I came back. It's going to be worse.
No, see, I agree with you, because if he does walk, you are in trouble, right? You can't replace him for the free agent. You can't match the money and say, well, you know, for a max contract just freed up. We'll go sign somebody else. Nope, doesn't work that way. If he does come back and you're in a camp of, like, you can't win with this guy, he can't be the number one guy. Well, the idea and the plan is that maybe he doesn't have to be.
Correct.
Because if he does come back, maybe that number one guy is Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Because if he comes back, you know Danny's going to do everything he can. So, okay, maybe he is Robin. I don't know. He wanted to come here to see if he could be Batman. Hadn't worked out. So maybe Anthony Davis, maybe that helps him. You know, maybe he's the lead dog.
So I don't know why that's surprising to anybody, though. Anthony Davis is a better player than he is. We had somebody try to argue.
Is that guy going
to
call back?
I don't think that guy's called back about Giannis.
Who's Giannis?
Yeah. So Giannis gets into foul
yesterday
trouble.
He called in and said that Kyrie, and we're idiots if we thought that Giannis was a better player than Kyrie. Giannis, we got that call yesterday. Is he going
to
call back?
I don't think we're hearing from him today. Giannis had to sit for like an hour and a half on the bench because he got into foul trouble. And when he came back in the game, he just closed the game. This is it. I'm closing the game out. So, but Davis is a better player than Kyrie. So, yeah, it would be Batman to Robin, and he would be the second guy. He's always going to be that second guy if you're looking at a championship team, because he's not Kawhi Leonard, right? He's not Kevin Durant. He's not...
Well, can we just say that, okay, so Kyrie Irving, superstar, you know, most important player on the team, he's going to take a lot of the burden. He's going to take a lot of the blame.
He's going to take it all,
okay? But he should not take all of it.
I agree.
Because there are some other guys on that team that are completely invisible. Like, just disappear. And yes, it's open season on Hayward. You're allowed to rip him. You're allowed to be critical of him. Do not sit there and be afraid to be critical of Gordon Hayward because he hurt his ankle almost 2 years ago.
I'd like to wait for two more years of rehab to see how he is then.
It's not. This guy is scared. He's tentative. He does not want the ball. He wants nothing to do with it. He may hold his hand up like he wants it. I'm not. Oh, you know, nope, no, I'm not open anymore. Can we just say, like, if he had just a little bit of help from some of his supporting cast, and not to sit there and just compare numbers between Connaughton and, you know, Hill and
Christian,
all those other guys.
I know what
there's
you mean.
There needs to be some accountability for some of the other guys on the team.
Fine. You are right. But isn't it about the superstar?
I'm not removing. He has not been good. No, he sucked.
Forget about the elite level of what we thought raising your game in the postseason, because that's who you're supposed to be.
A star is a star.
It's going backwards.
I'm not saying that he's not. He doesn't bear 50% of the burden. 50% is on his shoulders.
No, you're right. I mean, Terry Rozier turned the clock back about 5 months. He is now in 10 minutes of playing time trying to get 30 minutes worth of shots. Okay, he's awful. He has been awful. The whole thing about, like, you know, before the series started and after they felt good, you know, they win a four-game set and they beat Milwaukee. All of a sudden, now there's interviews, right? Scary Terry's doing interviews.
Scary Terry Rozier.
Talking about how it's all different now. It's the playoffs. Nobody cares about roles. Nobody cares about anything. It's just about winning. Then he comes in last night, and again, he looked like it was December when he was like, you know, if I'm not going to get 30 minutes, if I'm going to get 18, damn it, I'm going to take 10 shots. I take as many shots as I can. I mean, it was just obvious. They're calling it out last night in the broadcast. This has been the issue with this team all year. Everybody looking for theirs.
Their bench is
when
old.
Things go on runs, they just turtle.
I argued this point before the series. Their bench was overrated. Milwaukee has a better bench because they bring in those shooters.
Are they just playing better, though?
They're better. They're better shooters.
So they can open
up the floor.
You think someone on their bench is as good as Gordon Hayward?
No, but I think if you take...
They're playing better.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. But, like, talent-wise, okay. Next year, who do you want in your team? Ilya Sova or Gordon Hayward? George Hill or Gordon Hayward? Connaughton or Gordon Hayward?
Well, you know what?
Who would you rather have in your team? Smarter.
But hold on. You know what George Hill is? George Hill is that player that Kyrie Irving was talking about earlier in the season.
Yeah, the veteran.
13, 14-year veteran. Do you know he's been in 110 playoff games
that's
now?
That's what I'm saying. They're better now. They're playing better now. Because these guys underperformed grossly. And they should be disappointed in themselves.
But you're talking about overall talent. What I'm telling you is, in bench players, I want those seasoned veterans. If I have a guy like Giannis on the floor, and I'm going to bring in guys off the bench, I want guys that are going to spread the floor. And that's what their shooters do. So I like their bench. I think their bench is
better
good.
Pieces.
Why can't we just say that, okay, and I don't really agree with you, because unless you just had no expectations for Hayward. If just Hayward, because when you look at it,
So Smart, I mean, obviously, was that the right thing for him to be out there?
Yeah, that probably wasn't the best.
Do you think you could have kind of like, listen, just play defense, don't shoot?
He gave him a little bit of
a spark
life and
in
energy.
The beginning, the right problem, off the top.
The problem was they played him with Kyrie. They could easily overplay Kyrie with two or three bodies. They left him wide open, and what did Kyrie do?
Why'd they leave him wide open?
Because he can't make that shot. So what they did is Kyrie could have had, he had 10 assists in the game. Last night.
He could have had 15
or 18. He could have had 15 or 18.
No question.
If guys made the shot. How about the pick and roll? And Horford open on his spot, top of the three. How many times was he wide open up there? He had a chance to set his feet and do everything.
What's up, guys?
That was all the penetration of Kyrie. So I agree with you. Kyrie's going to take the heat. Kyrie did not play as bad as people will comment today. People will rip him.
Well, I mean,
he did not play that bad. He did not get help.
He couldn't make a shot. I mean, he was horrendous.
Yeah, but
horrendous.
But you can't make a shot. You do other things.
I know. I'm giving him 50%. We can do the whole blame pie.
Yeah, blame pie.
Blame pie.
Blame
pie.
Everybody. Horford missing a shot.
Yes,
50%. Easily.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't. Because he's the guy you depend on.
No, but worse. You come out like grabbing. You come out like talking this whole big tough guy game. And why is it going to be so easy for you? Why are you going to be successful in the playoffs?
Because
I'm here.
He's smart.
Okay, so if you allow yourself to go out on that limb alone and preach to everyone who's paying attention, we're going to win because I'm here. Forget about the regular season. Forget about all the issues we have throughout the entire year. It's fixed now. Flip the switch. Playoffs. I'm in control.
See, the biggest
you were fooled for five games.
Well, the biggest problem you have, though, when you're trying to evaluate this is it usually happens that the best player in an NBA series wins the game, okay? Wins the series. Giannis, by far, is the best player
easily
in the series. There's nobody even close to him at number two, right? He is such a much better player than what we saw a year ago. First of all, his defense, his rim protecting. He clogs up the middle. That was Kyrie's problem. They're putting him down there. They're putting Lopez. They're putting Mirotic. He had no room, no space, and he didn't know what to do with it. He was freaked out. And then on top of that now, you're seeing it. Giannis is starting to take threes and make them.
Yep.
Once he perfects that, he'll be the best player by far in the league.
I do. I probably put more than 50% on Kyrie. Just because of who he is, what he represents, who he's supposed to be. You know, there were times in that third quarter. I think it got away from them probably, about the last 3 minutes? I mean, it happens quick, boy. I mean, real quick. 3 or 4 minutes. It was a tie ball game back and forth. And it seems like when it's a run, he forces it. He went to the basket a couple times and had no chance. You know, and they were moving the basketball, and they were getting shots, and others were doing things. And all of a sudden, it felt like, you know, he wasn't involved enough at times. And he would take it to the basket and force it at the absolute wrong time. Like a shot that just wasn't there. He just got impatient and needed to do it. I put it on him. I was looking at this the Celtics last night. Uncontested jumpers. Who's this from? Tim Bontemps from ESPN.
Yeah.
Uncontested jumpers. They were 14 for 39. Uncontested. 6 for 26 from 3-point range. Uncontested.
Yeah,
Kyrie was 1 for 7.
Yeah.
0 for 4 from 3.
Yeah.
Uncontested. Contested.
Awful. And as we just pointed out, a lot of would-be assists were some of the shots that those guys missed
ones
at all. But, all right, we'll get into all of it. We'll get into both the Bruins and the Celtics. Rodney Harrison is going to join us at 3:30.
Hot Rod.
He has been elected into the Patriots Hall of Fame. He's one of our all-time great guests. We haven't talked to him in a while, so it'll be good to catch up with Rodney Harrison and see how he feels about getting a little jacket down there. Have they fitted you for a jacket yet?
No.
Don't they go for all the possible future nominees? Don't they size?
I'm what you would call an invitee.
An invitee.
Yes.
You and Chatham.
I walk out. Oh yeah, like in the others.
Yeah.
This is the best at everything. This guy.
All right, we'll start with it. Was that Kyrie's last game at the TD Garden last night in a Celtics uniform? We'll get to all of that, your phone calls on the Bruins as well. 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Kyrie, Chris Gasper, Boston Globe. Have you ever had a three-game stretch like this in the playoffs, and how mentally challenging is it?
What do you mean?
Have you ever had a shooting stretch like this? I think it's now at this point 19 for 62.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? I'm a basketball player. You know, prepare the right way. It's a little different when, you know, your rhythm is challenged every play down. You know, you're being picked up full court. You know, they're doing things to test you. You know, the expectations on me are going to be sky high. And I try to utilize their aggression against them and still put my teammates in great positions while still being aggressive. I'm trying to do it all. So, you know, for me, the 22 shots, you know, I should have shot 30.
Mm. All right, these comments are going to piss people off.
Let it rain!
Right there. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have shot 30, but he's kind of throwing his teammates under the bus with that one. He's basically saying, hey, listen, they got me up top. They got me in the paint. They're not giving me any space.
Oh, freaking stop,
and I'm putting my guys in the right spot. The only thing he's not saying is
stuff,
guys are missing it. It's stupid.
I mean, really, this is the thing. It wasn't just the game he played. It was afterwards. So what?
Yeah.
I mean, so what?
Not
Celtics
bad.
Fans,
it's an
like
awful
Celtics
look.
Fans, I'm sorry, but so what?
It's an awful look.
Yeah, who cares?
I mean, so, who cares?
So you're 19 of 62. You're shooting 31%. You missed 43 shots. You know what? I don't have a problem with that because it does happen.
Who cares?
Even to the greatest ones?
Pretty sure Celtics fans care.
Yeah, sure, they no, they don't.
Yeah, who cares?
No, but I'm a great shooter. I should shoot 30 times. It's tough on me. They're triple teaming me. I'm trying to make the right play. Why don't you just come out and say it? Everybody else on my team sucks.
You know,
no one's doing
30.
Their job. I'm the only one that knows what they're doing. Been playing with these kids all year. They still haven't figured this thing out. I said all the right things because we were on a nice run last week. I tried to give these guys compliments, but the bottom line is they all suck.
This is it.
They don't know what they're doing.
This is what
I'm out here trying to do my thing. I play with LeBron. I won a championship. I know everything. These guys suck. Did you hear Budenholzer?
It's Kyrie to English right there.
Budenholzer.
Who's it? What's
that guy? That coach? Budenholzer?
The guy from The Rookie.
He was complimenting him throughout the whole thing about this, and he comes out of timeouts, and he just runs the same plays that are successful, and they just keep working. Shot at Brad Stevens.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just...
Well, it's not the first time there was a shot at
the post game was like,
Stevens.
Oh, my God. Like, end the season. I don't even want to watch you Wednesday night. I'm so done with it. Yeah.
You're spot on. You're spot on with this. And here's the reason why he decided to play nice. Okay, because he obviously had no choice. And then there seems to be, you know, a little bit of traction, right? You go against Indiana, all fake. It's all a mirage. It's a facade. It doesn't exist. You played against a crap team, and even they challenged you at times. You shouldn't have been able to go ahead and sweep them, but you did. You felt good about yourself, and then you piled on. Oh, well, the situation. You beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Holy crap. Can you imagine the way those guys were hopping on the bus, their chest all puffed up, thinking they could take on the world? They took one on the road.
So as you
Milwaukee?
Look back, Christian, as you look back at that one, is that more now Milwaukee than it was Boston?
Oh, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee was not ready because Milwaukee had played a series against Detroit that gave them no competition and no defense. All right? But people here got all excited about Indiana.
Where are all those people, by the way?
Do you remember the argument we were having a week ago, when people were trying to sit there and say, we got the better coach by far? Even
yes.
though the other guy has won Coach of the Year, he's had two teams now, two
yes.
different teams, in which has won 60 games, in which neither year, that Atlanta
yep.
and Milwaukee, anybody thought his teams were going to win 60 games. And now you saw the adjustments that Budenholzer has made in this series, and you tell me who's the better coach. Brad Stevens. He's a good coach, but this guy's better. This guy made adjustments.
What were the adjustments
in the game last night?
Here's the thing, though. I think this is such a personnel issue. More than anything, I think it's a personnel issue.
Because
they just don't. I mean,
but wait a
there
minute.
Is some, I know.
But
listen,
the coach is supposed
coach,
to do that.
Okay, I get it.
The coach is
okay,
supposed to find roles.
It. The guy's done it. He's done it. He just didn't all of a sudden become a crappy coach. A terrible.
No, he's never done this.
A terrible motivator.
No, he's never done this before.
You show me a great coach. And even Bill talked about not being able to get through to certain teams he's had in the past. Show me a great coach with a crappy personnel. Not talented personnel, but selfish.
Christian,
and I'll tell you, a crappy coach.
But the first time this guy has ever dealt with max contract players, he's never dealt with this before. Okay, mixing and matching.
Who's the max contract guy?
What are you talking about?
Tell me, no,
Gordon
no,
Hayward's a max
Al.
Contract guy.
But, okay,
Al's
Gordon,
a max,
okay,
hold on.
And how does he deal?
And Kyrie's about to be one.
You, I think you need to separate it.
Gordon Hayward is a max contract guy, but he is not Gordon. He's some dude. He is just some guy. Okay, Horford doesn't give you any problems.
Hold on. Guy.
He's the glue. Kyrie's your problem.
Yes.
Okay, now he's your problem, and he's your solution.
Correct.
So I would say the rest of the guys are the ones that aren't getting in line.
You got to throw some of that in the coach. The coach has been great.
I'm not giving him a break.
Developing these underachieving and young players. He's done a terrific job. Maybe he's a wonderful teacher. But
Jason Tatum's in his second year. He's 21 years old.
Right.
Okay, Jaylen Brown looks like he's starting to figure out what he's about. Terry Rozier, don't need it. Done with it. And who else is there? Marcus Smart is who he is. You already re-signed him. I mean, so like
guy you're happy about is Marcus Morris.
Fine. He's a free agent. He's going to be gone.
Right.
So, I mean, I just don't.
Everybody
I think
deserves blame. He's right, though. I mean, Glenn's right. I mean, he's had underachieving or overachieving teams, lacking that superstar. How does he deal with that superstar in this league? The two of them were out last year when things counted late in the season. He takes some of the blame on this. There's no question about it. And I agree. I think Kyrie Irving, as much as it disgusts me with the way how he handled that thing in the post game, yeah, he is still part of the solution.
Yeah.
You need him here. You need Anthony Davis. He needs help. Yeah, he needs to take some of that off of him. I don't know, because maybe he isn't the lead dog on a championship team. Maybe he isn't. But I still know he's a talented player who tried to do way too much, who didn't back up his words, and then after the game kind of threw it on everyone else, which I just can't respect.
Hold on. You tell me, who needs to adapt to the other person? Who needs to adapt more? Is it Brad Stevens to Kyrie or Kyrie to Brad?
Both. What? It's fair to say both.
I don't know. In the NBA?
Yes.
I feel like it's both. I mean,
so you're going to do what? Where do you think it lies?
All the blame's on one person?
No, I'd say that
all
the
Kyrie,
coach
it's all
the
Brad?
In the NBA, I feel like most of the coaches, when you think about superstars, Who adapted to who? Tyronn Lue or LeBron James?
Well, he's not even a coach.
Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant. Who adapts to who?
The coach has to adapt to the player.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah, but hold on.
There's a mix.
This is a bad mix, and that's it.
I agree with you. It is a bad mix, and Danny's going to blow it up, and you're going to see that in July. This team will be blown up, and it will be a different-looking team come next year. But I would be concerned if I'm Danny right now, because he wants to win right now. He doesn't want to get a bunch of young kids and win 5 or 6 years from now. And to win right now, you have to look at this coach and say, is he adaptable to dealing with finding a mix when we're dealing with big-name players, marquee players who have gigantic egos? Kyrie is not alone. Any player you get in here that's going to be a star is going to have a gigantic ego. You're not going to have all those little, you know, engines that could. He's great at that. Stevens is great at that. How does he deal with mixing and matching all of these personalities?
We hear the stories now from Doc Rivers about that team,
yep,
and how he had to deal with Rondo and how he had to deal with Ray. You know, and it seemed like, you know, KG was on the page, but still he's a certain type of individual. Paul, I mean, it was just, you have to deal with huge egos in this league, unless you got a team like he's had the last few years. You know, unless you got a bunch of guys that are just trying to prove themselves in the league and willing to do whatever the hell he wants. All right, well, can you deal with people who've already established something in this league and actually might think they know more than you?
That worries
me. Or on the same level as you?
All right, let's get to these phone calls, and then we'll get to another guy who had a hissy fit last night in a winning situation. Here's Brian. Brian's in Providence. First up today on OMF. Hey, Brian.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Brian.
I've been a Celtics fan for more than 50 years. And what I heard last night, I never heard anything like that before. Who cares? I'll tell you what, not him. He's just passing through town. That's all he's doing. He is not a Celtic. He's an NBA mercenary, you know, just looking for, you know, the next paycheck. And I think he's looking at that, the Brooklyn paycheck from, doesn't that Russian oligarch own that team? He's loaded with dough.
I don't think he's there anymore.
No.
The oligarch's gone?
No. He sold it a few years back.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's looking for Brooklyn. I think the Knicks is the team. If he teams up with Kevin Durant, and I say good luck to him there if he goes there, because I think that, talk about pressure. Are you kidding me? People in New York, people nationally are going to expect if you put those two guys together,
Kevin Durant,
and a high draft pick, you better win right away, and I don't think that's going to happen. Here's Ahmad in Connecticut. Ahmad.
Hey, guys.
I never liked Irving. He has to go. He really.
Jeez.
He looked
at the I tell you what, they loved him last week. A week ago, they loved him.
Wasn't
it? I don't know if it was a week ago.
After
a
game
week
one,
ago, it was he's
game
a,
one.
Wow, where's the statue?
Finally,
get the bronze.
They were
putting it away.
They were calling us and ripping us for arguing about flipping the switch because I've said you don't flip the switch. By the way, anybody want to call about that argument today?
So I'm on. What don't you like? Was it the play? Was it the stuff after the game? Or just everything?
If you look at the team, right? Tatum took a step back. They don't play as a team anymore. Their heads are down. They don't play defense. I'm sorry, but I just don't like the way he plays.
Okay, it's a bad mix. So what do you do? Okay, I get it.
So
it's a bad mix. What do you do?
What if he leaves?
I say you pick up Kemba Walker.
You can't.
You can't.
Right?
You can't.
Why?
Because he's a free agent. They don't have the ability to do it.
Well, they don't.
So here's what you do. I'll give you the solution. If you want the solution for Danny, if you don't want him here, you let him go. You get nothing in return. Boy, that'd be something. Top 10 player, you get nothing in return. That's going to pay huge dividends down the road. And then you go out and sign Isaiah Thomas as a free agent, and you play him with the kids. And you have a cute little team. You want that?
You are already over the salary cap, so you cannot just lose a max contract and sign another one.
Okay, thanks for calling.
But there's a lot of people out there that...
That's the problem. They don't know.
He's making a lot of money. Get rid of him and get another $27 million, $20, $30 million player. You can't do it.
I'll give the green teamers that are blogging out there credit because they do understand some of this stuff. And I've read some of the blogs where they're basically admitting if we... They're pissed.
They're also admitting that they were wrong about this team.
Flipping the switch. Remember when we were getting abused last week? People calling up, see? Duck Bones! The Red Sox flipped the switch.
They wanted to believe it.
Celtics flipped the switch.
Don't believe your lying eyes.
You don't flip the switch.
Yeah, they got me.
They got you.
They always get you.
617-779-7937. Hey, we got another guy who's pissed off, and this guy actually is moving on in the playoffs.
Child.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Brad, you said after the third game of the series, there's no panic in the room. What can you say about the way your group handled the next three games and ultimately advancing to the conference final?
We did a good job.
No, Tuukka Rask was saying, this core isn't getting any younger. What do you make of the opportunity that lies ahead of you?
It's been fun.
So I see where this is going here. I'll ask you one more about your line. It got back together. You had said the chances over there were just starting to bury it these last few games. What kind of zone are you three in?
We're good.
Thanks.
Unbelievable.
Well, that was worth it, Jim.
Yeah, certainly.
No,
it was. Three questions, 10 words. That's difficult to do. He did the interview. That was after the game, after the Bruins had won and advanced onto the Eastern Conference Finals with Kyle Bukauskas of Sportsnet Canada. That's their network show up there. So he's on their network broadcast. So, you know, we saw it on NBC, and there's a guest for NBC, and there's a guest for Sportsnet Canada. And he was the post-game guest. Now, we later found out, because we saw the video, that he had a problem with this guy, Kyle Bukauskas, and he was pissed at him because before game two in the pregame skate, we have it. Listen to it.
Brad Bruce Cassidy was mentioning maybe some hesitancy from David Pastrnak of late. What have you seen lately from number 88?
He's such a dominant player in this league. Doesn't take him long to create something. So, been a big player for us all year. He hasn't.
Fine with the guy here, right?
Fine. Keep going.
Did you manage to get your skate resharpened after Thursday?
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that. So he's definitely playing with an edge.
Didn't like that question,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah. So that pissed him off.
Yeah. But
I mean, he did crack the joke the day before, right?
Yeah, I think he was trying to dull up my blade there. Sent me to the room, get it sharpened.
Did everybody laugh?
But you know what happens? All of these
before
guys,
the game.
These guys all think they're friends with the player, so they think they're in on the joke. So the next day, it's a pre-skate, Lou. You're minutes away from dropping the puck. There's a different mentality. You guys played sports. You know what it's like. And suddenly that question is thrown out. Come on. This is not laugh time. You want to do it off day, do it to me.
Yeah, I get it. Maybe before the game, but still, it was a joke that he had cracked.
Yeah. But here's what I don't understand. He met with the scrum with the media last night in the dressing room, and he was giving, again, one-word, two-word answers.
Why the short answers, Brad?
That's, how good does it feel? It's been a while since you guys have been in the conference finals. How good does it feel to be back?
It's good.
Where'd you get that outfit?
China.
China?
What was the difference from being down 2-1 in the city looking at the last three?
We won.
When Tuca is part of the way he is, how much does that help you guys up
the time? Yeah, what time?
Do you have a bet on how few words you're going to say in this?
Maybe.
What's been able to separate the way you guys have played on the road in the playoffs?
I don't know.
Anybody say anything interesting to you in the handshake line?
Nope. You feeling a little crispy tonight?
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
It's cuz.
So he did have a smile, but he did have a smile when he was answering a couple of these questions.
Looks like a vampire.
Right, but this made no sense. So Don Sweeney came out today, and he said, we will address it. Brad has obligations to you and the media in a respectful manner and be a professional and will address it. To be honest with you, so does the media. You know, in the same light. I think he was going at this guy, Kyle, for asking him that on the,
yeah, whatever,
the pre-skate ride.
Listen.
I would ask for the same on both sides.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
It's really about the punch. That's what it is. They called him out for it.
Yeah.
Right? Because this was, even after what, game five, Ty Anderson, just this is the whole when Pasta said he's crispy. Like, not now all of a sudden it's just like, what the hell do you guys know? How dare you judge us? You know nothing about hockey. Go ahead.
I think it's funny how you say we had a great game tonight, but other games we had more opportunities than we did tonight. They just happened to go in tonight. So it's funny you dictate a good game from a bad game.
For either one of you or both, throughout the season we've heard about how resilient this team has been throughout all the adversity. What is it that makes this team so resilient?
I'm going to take it. Marsh is a bit crispy tonight. So.
Yeah, and that's why, this is why he is crispy, okay? Because it was a cheap shot. It was a coward move, punching a guy from the back of the head with his knees down, and he didn't like the media covering it. He didn't like the media talking about it. He doesn't think he should be judged by it. He didn't like the way what you said about him. That's why he's acting like a freaking child.
And
I get it. Listen. He's an ass. I get it. He's your ass. All right. He's our ass.
Whose ass?
Marchand is our ass. I get it. All right. You're a Bruins fan, but he is. Make no mistake about it. He is an absolute punk. He's a child with how he's reacting. He is upset at how you covered the punch, which was a coward move. The guy's on his knees. He's not even looking at you. Not only do you punch him in the head, but if you punched him in the head and he turned around and you were standing there in front of him saying, yeah, I just punched you in the head. What are you going to do about it? No, he punched him in his head and skated away like a child.
Yeah. You just can't go around punching guys in the
face. Usually in that situation,
and he doesn't
the
fact that you're judging him on. He doesn't like the fact that people are calling him out for the crap that he does. Unfortunately, he doesn't need to. He is a great player.
Yep.
But for that day, he was wrong. And because you call him out for it, he's upset with you.
Yeah,
you
square up with a guy and fight in that situation. At the end of game, frustration, that's what you do. And I agree with you. And I saw him taking a lot of heat from a lot of the commentators up in Canada because he skated away.
Right.
But he is, as you cited, a great player. So they're in a series that was pretty damn physical here. They end up winning in six against Columbus. But where would they be without him? in a series like this.
He wouldn't be as good. We all know how good the player is.
That's not his skill is not in question.
Right.
Nobody's questioned his athletic ability, his ability to make plays. But what I found out is that I think that he's there's a sense that, again, you heard in that last clip that nobody knows what's going on. I would be pissed off if this was in a different sport and somebody pulled that crap with me. There would be a fight. It would go into the locker room, to the bike racks, to the bus. There would be a fight. Someone knocks you in the back of the head, punches you in the back of the head. I think they all understand that this is the way hockey is.
They think
that this is just, and then nobody understands that this stuff goes on all the time, and nobody's really holding a grudge. That's why they have the handshake line. Everybody, hey, you hit me in the head, you almost knocked me out. Hey, thanks for that. Hey, I'm going to go to the hospital now. But hey, congratulations and good luck in the future.
Josh Anderson was smiling. It was almost like
it's the weirdest thing.
It is strange.
On one hand, you're supposed to be the good sportsman. On the other hand, this guy almost knocked you out.
But you know what everybody does? Everybody glorifies that. You notice on Twitter last night,
oh my God,
they do that line. By the way, they do it in every youth sport game that's ever played, right? The kids all line up. So it's not relegated to just hockey. But you're right about this. Josh Anderson is laughing, smiling, sitting there going, hey, Charlie, when you're in Columbus, stop by the house. The wife and the kids would love to see you.
That's what you got last night. I don't know what your name is. I don't even know where I am right now, but thank you.
You just tried to take your head off.
Don Sweeney's statement, right? Yeah, it's his job to be respectful, in a respectful manner, be professional, and we'll address it. To be honest with you, so does the media. In the same light, I would ask for the same on both sides. So is it unprofessional to see what he did in that game, punch the guy in the back of the head and call him out for it? Is that unprofessional? This is why, honestly, last night I was amazed. Bruins fans are so disappointing. Usually you call out the BS, whether on your team or not, but the laundry is unbelievable. This would be like saying that, if Manny Machado was on your team, you'd be fine with him spiking the first baseman because you think it's funny. Right, but he's not on your team, so you think he's an ass.
Would you trade for Manny
Machado? And you think he's a dirty player?
Why is that?
But because this guy's on your team, you just gloss over everything.
It's called fanatics, fans, laundry.
Just admit he's a great player. No one's saying he's not. But when he does stupid stuff, it was amazing.
Yeah, good for you, Marshy. Yeah, you sure? Yeah, I loved it.
It's such a joke, Bruins fans. I thought you were better than that. I thought you were tougher than that. I didn't think it was all about laundry. I thought you actually opened your eyes, and when you saw something you didn't like, you actually called them out on it. But apparently not. This is a joke. Be responsible in the media. The same on both sides. All right, Don. What were we not supposed to talk about? The cheap shot in the back of the head. That's fine. And skates away. Is that being unprofessional for just calling him out on it?
Yeah, that's what it's about. Because this reporter, the sideline guy up in Canada, I could understand him being pissed off with him. But wouldn't you have more of a presence? You just won a hard-fought series. You're doing it with this a-hole that you don't like because he threw a question you didn't like the other day. Maybe you pull him aside and say, hey, dude, what are you doing?
This is all by his own hand. Everything that's going on with him is his own damn fault. So, but I would think, for a guy like that, he knows that no matter what he says, whether it's good or bad, he's at the point now with less teams playing and now they've advanced, that no matter what he says, someone's going to take it and run with it and just turn it into whatever they want. So I think this is some weird, psychopathic nut job freaking way of protecting himself. I honestly feel like he thinks he's protecting himself.
How?
So
if he gets a way of protecting himself.
I feel like if he explains himself, if he answers, he knows there's a trap waiting. And he's too much of a snarky little, scrappy guy to let it go.
He said,
so he knows he cannot control himself. So he's going to say something he's going to regret.
So his comment.
So he says nothing.
So his comment the other day was it was an unnecessary hit that he took on the back of the head of another player at the end of a game. He admitted that it was the wrong thing. Okay, so now he's going to chastise the media for sitting there saying, this kid is too good a player. He doesn't need to do this. What the hell is he doing?
Right. It goes both ways.
Right.
Like, if you want, you can play nice, and there's going to be a lot of questions you don't like, but that's their job. You knock somebody in the back of the head. Are we not supposed to ask you about it? Are we not supposed to be critical of you? It's a dirty play. You're a dirty player. Okay, so are we right?
Or was that just a one-time thing?
Well, I thought he had moved. I thought he had moved past that. I thought we were now in this new adult, mature Brad Marchand era. But apparently,
all guys in hockey are somewhat dirty. They're all kind of dirty with their cheap shots. And you watch it, especially when they get
all
those scrums.
Hands and hug each other at the end.
Yeah,
of games
hold on, because I want to play this Doc Emmert thing because. Something about it that I like, but I honestly don't know if I would, because like in Pop Warner in high school, you do the handshake thing.
Sounds
you
like
literally
a line
get
out of Field of Dreams.
You get in the line.
Yeah.
You get in the line.
Yeah.
In the college and the pros, nope. Everyone just kind of scatters and you only talk to the people you know. But Doc Emmert, I think it moved a lot with this.
Brandon Dubinsky and Zdeno Chara, the Warriors, are the first to greet one another. And right after Chara is Patrice Bergeron. We have seen others in the history of this sport that have gone through the handshake line, and it has just been with the greatest of class. And sometimes it is hard at the sound of the horn to just forget that. So we don't know what we'll see. I sure love this sport.
I sure love this game.
I sure love it.
I hope you love it too. I mean, come on.
I love this
Is that
part.
The reason you love it? Remember Lucic a few years ago?
I sure love this part.
He wanted to fight. Right. He wanted to fight somebody. I'll get you when the season starts.
People were critical. They're like, you can't do that.
Yeah, they didn't like that part.
You can't say you're going to kill somebody. It's supposed to be respect time.
That part of it I like. Nobody does it. That part, I like, well, okay, fine, I'm finally going to get, what am I going to do? Am I going to spit on my hand? Am I going to slap him in his face? I mean, what happens then?
Do that. Oh, too slow.
All right, let's open up.
You thought I was going to shake your hand.
Let's open up the phone lines. We'll talk both about Marchant. We'll talk about Kyrie Irving. So, obviously, Bruins and Celtics on the board right now. Rodney Harrison will join us at 3:30. He's been elected to the Patriots Hall of Fame. Here's Chris in Connecticut. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Lou, once again, your joke today as you were last night on Twitter.
Yeah, I know, and it's all about the uniform for you, Chris. Let me guess.
No, it's not about the uniform. What it is last night you're calling the guy a punk.
Yes.
And today you're saying Bruins fans won't distinguish between, bad behavior. It's two completely separate things. Yes, Lou, the punch in the back of the head, bad behavior. It's a dirty play.
Okay.
But it's not a punk. He's not a punk on the ice.
What word would you use? Then you want to say dirty player?
Look, what I'll say is he's a guy who plays on the line, Lou, and he does cross that line, right?
Yeah, okay. And when he crosses that line, what is he?
When he crosses that play, he's a dirty player.
Thank you.
Not a punk, okay?
No, I think it's just semantics here. Like, I mean, I guess...
No, we're not.
I think we understand what a punk is and what a dirty player is.
Okay, go ahead. That's your definition. Keep going.
That's fine.
Then. Continue.
And look, what I got is you got a guy who played with Crosby, right, and for Team Canada. You got 100 points. You get the best left wing in the NHL.
Yeah.
There's not one team that wouldn't want Marchand on the team.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree, Chris.
Let me say one more thing.
I agree. He's a great player. Go ahead.
Final thing is the punk is the Ulf Samuelson. The punk is the guy who ends somebody's career. It's the guy with the dirty play. That's where my distinction.
Like slew footing all the time.
What's that?
Like slew footing in the past.
That's
how many suspensions does he have in the past?
That's in the distant past.
More than any active player.
All right. Keep going.
Okay, so my point is, you have a guy that is an elite-level talent that you can't call, you can't put him in that category of punk. I think that's
all right, I'll say dirty player then, sorry.
But I won't even go there. I'm willing to say it was a dirty play.
Well, Manny Machado's not a dirty player all the time. But when he keeps spiking guys at first... He's a dirty player. When he takes guys out at second, he's a dirty player. He's not a dirty player every single night.
In the NHL,
he's a great player.
Things happen. Lines get crossed.
Let me guess. You play in the men's league.
Yeah, every Thursday night. Bro.
Shocker.
So mean. You're so mean. So mean to these people.
Shocker.
See, the Bruins fans.
What is the difference? You tell me. Okay, give me another word.
They don't like the word punk. And some people don't like that word, you know.
It is what it is.
Yes.
I mean, you can't just. I mean, when do they merge into one? When does a dirty player?
Well, there's
the
thing. If there was a guy in sports that you consider, Don McKinsey, what do you think of him?
I think he's a little punk.
What? How dare you?
Yeah.
Is he a dirty player?
And he's a dirty player.
Is he a dirty player each and every night?
If he gets the opportunity, yes.
Is he a great player in this league? Was he?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
But you still think he's a dirty player?
I think he's a punk
because when you do it. If it's once a year, twice a year, maybe old school, 3-4 times a year, whatever it was, you have a label. Nobody says you would do that every single night, but it's in you. Okay, the dirtiest players in all of sports that you could think of when you think dirty players, they don't night in, night out, go out and do things. I don't know what else you want to say.
See, the problem I have with him, though, because I think he's a terrific player, and I understand he's got to play at that type of game because that's part of his makeup, but you can't get pissed off when people are making you accountable for a cheap shot the other night. You sit there and say, okay, my bad. All right, and then you kind of ignore it. But is he now that sensitive? So if you're going to play, if you're going to play the game that way, you can't be sensitive. You have to understand that people are going to come back and they're going to be critical of you.
Yeah,
and everybody was critical. Yeah. There was nobody out there. I didn't see a single tweet, single from any media person where they were sitting and.
But I mean,
it's like
he doesn't end careers. I mean, he's lucky he hasn't.
Right.
You got one on your team. Remember what Marcus Johansson said about him with the flying elbow to the head?
Right.
I mean, there's people, the slew footing. I mean, there are things that he's done that has ended careers. He's just lucky that he hasn't yet.
If anybody's ever going to get killed, it's with a slew foot.
The show today being brought to you by Wilmington Builders Supply, your local Anderson Windows dealer. Marshawn on the table. Kyrie on the table. Celts look to be out here. And the Bruins moving on. That's what we're talking about. Rodney Harrison coming up at 3:30.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.